Hello and welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle. Another day, another episode. We are here. I am your host, Julia, and I am so excited that you're here with me. On today's episode, I have a very special guest. Her name is Delia Parga, and she is a makeup artist who has worked on film sets, on photo shoots, and also music videos. Her style is gorgeous. Her art is beautiful and so creative. And we talked about what it was like for her to become a makeup artist, how she connected with herself through her creativity. And she also gives advice to up-and-coming makeup artists, as well as shares her product reco of the week, something she is loving. So I'm not gonna go ahead and yap in your ear any longer by myself, because I want to jump right into this conversation. It is such a special one, but be sure to stay afterwards to hear my reco of the week, because it is one that has changed my skin for the better. So I really hope you love today's episode. Hit me on the hotline. Let me know your thoughts, your recos, 877-THE-MUAC. That's 877-843-6822. Hit me on the hotline. Now let's hop into my conversation with Delia. Boom. Delia, welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle.
Hello. It's so great to be here. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you? I'm looking at you. You have this glowy skin. Gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm good. I'm not going to lie. I totally woke up with like 30 minutes. I was like, oh my God, I got to go on here. So yeah. It's that fresh, that super fresh makeup.
I mean, if that's what you pulled together in that short amount of time, like, I'm happy you're here, and I'm happy we have you talking to the people, because that's pro level shit right there.
Yes. Yeah.
So for the listeners, you are a makeup artist. Everyone, I think, should definitely go check out your Instagram at minimum, because your work is incredible and I love it. And
thank you.
Yeah. No, I fucking mean it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to just like get your take on like why makeup artistry, like your journey to this path, what led you here, and just start wherever you want to start.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my makeup artist journey started, how old was I? I think I was like 21, 22 ish. I'm actually from Portland, Oregon originally. And so it was just like one of those random things where I think I just wasn't sure what I was doing in my life. And I was like, oh, I like makeup. I like being creative. And then I came across the makeup school called MUD Makeup Designery in Burbank, California. And so it just kind of was like, oh, I should just go to that and check it out and see what happens. And so I also was like in the mood to just get out of my town, like get out of Oregon. And I love California. I have family out here. So I was like, it's cool. Like, it'll be fun. And so I went, and it was for a year was the program that I did. And it was so interesting of a program. I liked it. But I don't know, honestly, if I would have gone through that same process again, if I knew what I knew now. I do think it was very helpful in terms of like how to get yourself comfortable with like clients and working on like strangers' faces and understanding like just everything about to do with the face, because I feel like you see, you know, like beauty YouTubers and things like that, where they're just all self-taught. And a lot of the stuff that they end up doing is like just the stuff that they would do on their own face, which doesn't always look as great on someone else's face if you don't understand that. So I feel like things like that, it was really helpful for. But I do feel like there's a lot of, it was really fast of a program. And I feel like it was not as easy to, you're just doing these looks, then you're done. Like that was it. And so I don't know, I did get to meet a lot of people out of it, which was nice. And I got to meet my friend Marilyn Especia, I think is how you say her last name. She's a photographer who I met through that school for doing like little like makeup looks with and practicing. And I have worked on so many different shoots with her since that day. She's like my go-to photographer. We've done so many different projects and things like that. So that was a big blessing with that. Because I feel like through her, I got to do a lot of like just a lot of fun shoots, a little like some little small magazine like pieces here and there and stuff through her. And so that was like the biggest thing that I really loved from that. But yeah, so I went through that program for a year, and through that I got to do a little bit of like internships and things here. I met some other makeup artists who I got to bring me on to like set life and stuff like that. So I got to feel the set life vibe. And I think the coolest like little internship that I got to do was I worked on this movie set. They were redoing some shoots for this movie set called The Bounce Back, with Shamar Moore in it from like Criminal Minds, if you know who that
Oh,
cutie is.
I'm melting. I know who that is.
Yes. And so I just got to kind of tag along. I remember how I met the makeup artist of that set, but I met her somehow, and she brought me to like kind of just intern and assist a little bit and help with touch-ups. And that was just, oh my God, like even meeting him was just so, he's such a beautiful and nice man. So that was probably like my most like special memory of being a makeup artist, is just getting to meet him and like touch his face up with some powder. Like
Yes.
that was beautiful. And yeah, I would say my first, like that whole first year of living here and going to makeup school was like such a crazy time, because I was doing all these little makeup things and like really getting into it. And then I ended up moving back home to Portland after my program was over, because it was just so expensive out here and trying to afford living here like basically on my own was really tough. So I moved back home. And I kind of stopped doing makeup after I moved back home, because I would say in Portland, it's not as needed as it is out here in LA, where there's always so many things going on. It was more just like, oh, I got a couple bridal stuff out there, like did a couple friends' weddings. But it was really hard to kind of find the get into like the makeup realm over there, because once they kind of have someone, I feel like they don't really like venture out with anyone else. So, and I don't know, I think for me personally, like I'm not into as into doing TV and like film makeup, and that's more so like what it was out there. I really like doing like more photo shoots and music videos, I would say, is like kind of where I really feel comfortable with. So I just kind of took a break from it. And then eventually, like I think it was after 2 years, I went through a nasty breakup, and I was like, you know what, let me go back to LA, because why not? And so I came back to LA, and it's like it just kickstarted back in being back here with like I reconnected with my other photographer, Marilyn, again. We started doing more shoots and just anything to kind of keep my portfolio up to date. And I work in coffee shops. I've worked in a coffee shop for most of my time here as my like full-time job. And through that too, just connecting with customers and everything, I have was able to meet other people. I met a couple like videographers who have brought me on to sets for music videos, and things like that. And so that was how I like networked, basically, was through like coffee, was through serving coffee. I just connected with like a bunch of people. And yeah, so I would say flashing forward to like just before the pandemic happened, I was actually getting a lot of jobs with like really doing a lot of music video shoots. I work a lot with my friend Sean Binder, who he is like does it all, directs all this stuff. And he has been also such a huge blessing to me, because he always is asking me for to come on to do makeup for these music videos that they get. And so that had been really fun, because I was getting all these music videos. And music videos are fun. I love music videos, because it's like they can go anywhere with them. You can go so outrageous, or just like, very beautiful beauty makeup. And so I love that. Doing that was so much fun, because you have so much creative control too, where you can kind of decide a little bit more of like what you want the looks to go. And That was, yeah, I think I did one music video just before the pandemic and it was really beautiful. We had like glowy skin. Just I love that. And then yeah, and then the pandemic hit and it really kind of came to all like a stop. A lot of things got canceled. And that was kind of a bummer. And then I would say I kind of went through this really big creative rut where I just wasn't sure what I was doing. I didn't really like have creativity going through me. I didn't really even know how to kind of keep the makeup stuff going. I did do, I ended up putting together very safely like a little photo shoot within the pandemic. Just to, because I just was like, I need to just do something. And I had this idea of boys with fruit, eating fruit. And yeah, and so I was like, let's just do this. Like, I like doing stuff like that. Like, that's my, I would say that's kind of my like a style or like my aesthetic that I really like to do is just like more on the abstract side a little bit. I also love like incorporating like odd genders with makeup and because you know makeup has no rules. It can be for anyone. And so I love like just making like adding like beautiful makeup and then like creating some kind of weird little vibe to go with it. Very un like more the unconventional route I like to do. And so I put that together and I had this I like plan to like make it into like a coffee book or something of just the photos. But you know, the pandemic, it was really hard like mentally with like just trying to stay upbeat and like you just keeping yourself going. And so it kind of the photos came out beautiful. I love the shoot. But I after that I kind of was like, okay, well now what? And then I did get another shoot within the pandemic for Tia Mowry's vitamin line for just
Oh,
I know I you know what I was so excited because I thought it was gonna be with Tia herself, but it was just for like you know promotional things. It was still exciting though because I was like, ah, Tia, like at least you'll see maybe it's just someone will ask like, oh, who did the makeup on this like
Yes, no,
model?
that's a great gig. Like the commercial gigs are like the
Yeah.
best of both worlds sometimes.
Yeah, so I did that, and so it's like little things came up here and there that kind of was like, oh, okay, like so there's still some stuff going. But I don't know, I still kept kind of feeling just not really as excited about things with like my makeup and getting to do makeup work as much. And so I would say I kind of started to drift away from like the traditional makeup route and I started looking into like permanent cosmetic makeup, like the microblading, specifically of eyebrows. And so I ended up going, like getting into a program. It's like a quick, like 4-day program, to learn how to do that. And that was really cool. And I really kind of like got really more excited about that and learning more into like all the other types of permanent cosmetic procedures, like the eyeliner and like the lip blushing and even the faux freckle like look I love. And so that kind of shifted my I would say shifted like my perspective and where I wanted to kind of start taking my makeup route to go, like my makeup path. I think I wanted to expand it through that. And so, and just venture out into something new. And so I would say that's kind of where my new focus is at now, is like shifting into permanent cosmetics, and kind of just learning how to do that. And maybe even learn how to tattoo a little bit, would be really fun. But yeah, I still really love like makeup. I just had to, I think, take a break from it for a while because it's like when I'm not feeling it, like I can't like get myself to do it. And like even too with my own self, like you know, we were having to wear the mask a lot at work and stuff like all the time. And I wasn't wearing makeup for so long that it was like even myself, I was like, I don't even feel like wearing it. I don't even feel like doing it for myself. Like I don't really want to do it on anyone else. Like, and so that was really crazy of a shift because I love like I feel I love putting makeup on myself. Like when I get to do my makeup, it's like my therapy moment. I'm like, I have my music on, I have my incense going, and it's like a whole little mood. And I'm like, sometimes I decide to like go, like just try new looks and make it fun or whatever. Like I love putting on my makeup. And so not doing that kind of made me like not really care about makeup like for a while. And so I would say I'm only just like recently, like I'm like, okay, now I'm really getting back into it. I'm like, things are a little bit more lenient now. I mean, we still want to stay safe, but you know, like things are a little bit better. And so it's like I can start putting on makeup again and like having fun again. And so now I would say I'm like, okay, yeah, like I would love to start maybe getting back into doing some more makeup, traditional like beauty stuff again. But I definitely still am wanting to focus, put a heavy focus more on permanent cosmetic, and just kind of see what happens with that. It's just, yeah, because you know, I just try to stay creative. I love to just try to stay creative. But yeah, I say that's my been my journey, my little timeline from 20, I think what 21, 22 to now 28 as like a makeup artist. It's been a up and down type of thing.
I think that's just part of the gig. I think people that want to get into a creative, like they want their career to be in a creative space. A part of that is just being okay riding the wave of wherever it takes you. And sometimes it's scary. Like, I hear you, the pandemic hit, and it's like everyone that I talked to, they were like, I don't care about makeup. I don't want to focus on it. Like, I'm pivoting to skincare. And for us creatives, it's so my belief, you can tell me if you agree or not. My belief is like, I am not. Like the creativity doesn't come from me. The creativity comes through me. Like I'm just a conduit. I'm just a vessel for these ideas to come out into the world. And with the pandemic, I was feeling like anxious. I was feeling sad. I was feeling fear. And so all of that kind of like blocked that. And so I wasn't feeling creative either. I was like, I am not doing a wing. I am not, forget it. I'm not here for it. Like, so yeah, it's time.
It was rough. I don't know too if you felt the same way. Was like when I, because I, like I said, like I stopped wearing makeup for so long, like probably like that almost that whole year, especially because too my skin went through like I had like acne issues, just like all the skin issues, like really trying to battle that and stuff too. And then so when I finally started to like put makeup back on again, I like the way that I used to do it before, I was like, whoa, this is like I don't actually like how I look anymore. Like I used to do like so much heavier like foundation and coverage, and then I was doing that and I was like, why am I like looking so not right to me? Like I just kept looking at myself like, what is wrong with my face right now? Like it was not, I did not like it. Like I had to shift into a whole new like way of doing my makeup. And so it's like now I do so much lighter. Like I think everyone's kind of shifting though, is what I've noticed, is to like the lighter wear foundation, and like a lot more of just like kind of like spot concealing rather than like covering your whole face with foundation and the whole like you know contour and highlight cream triangle thing that everyone did. The
No.
full glam. Yeah, like I feel like now it's like my makeup routine is so much more simple. Like I used to do always eyeliner, love doing a winged eyeliner. And now when I do I just started doing winged eyeliner again really recently, and it's like I can't do the heavy wing. It has to be like the little baby wing, and I'm like, that's enough. That's it. Like just a touch. But yeah, like that's what I noticed, is like everything became so much more simpler now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I just to go back to what you were saying about like when you have an influencer or YouTuber, like the makeup that's there's something different about doing it for yourself, not for the camera, something different doing it for yourself for the camera, and then something a whole other world when you're on set doing it on someone else. Do you have a preference? Do you have like a space where you feel the most comfortable?
As far as like doing makeup, like on other people,
I
or
mean, yeah, like what is like when you show up on set or when you like open your kit, like what is the thing that gets you the most excited? We are like, yes, let's cruise.
oh, I actually love the base, like starting at Everyone's base. I love like, because I love color matching people. I get so excited when I'm like, I don't have to like really, I can just look at someone's face and I'm like, this is your color, and just like mix it all up and it's like right from the get-go. Like I love the base portion. It's like my favorite part to do because it's like the most important, you know? Like to me, I feel like it's the most important. And it's like, so if you don't do a good base, like everything else is not gonna very like look very good. Like, and so I love starting with someone's foundation, and just like I do such a light foundation buildup with all of like my jobs, whether it's like for just a photo shoot or a music video, like whatever, like I always start so light. And I just, because I love to, my thing is like, I love to make it look like you just have like your skin is perfect. I love that, like no makeup look, if specifically for foundation, like, and so I love getting to tackle, like trying to get someone's skin to just look like you have a beautiful finish, but you have very minimal makeup on. And that's my favorite portion. For sure. That and blush. I love adding blush.
Okay,
I love blush.
I love that you said that because those are two of the things that I feel like people struggle with the most, whether it's for themselves or whether it's an aspiring artist or someone newer to the game. Do you have any tips or tricks that you could be like, all right, this is how you nail it?
I always tell people, I'm like, lighter is so much better. Just do like literally like a small amount, and then just focus on the areas that you actually see need cover. So like for me, for myself, I always get like dark spots, like from my acne. I have dark spots that I always get really insecure about, and they're always on my cheeks. Like they're always on my cheeks. And so for my makeup routine, it's like I always just center on that area, and then I just kind of spread out to like cover everything else. But for the most part, my rest of my skin is like even coverage. And I think a lot of people, they just think like they have to cover everything. And it's like you really don't. Like your skin tone, like if your skin has nothing around it, like if your forehead is clear, don't put anything on your forehead. It's so fine. It's gonna be totally okay. And it'll make your skin just look so much more healthy and more like you're covered in the areas that you feel covered in, but you're letting your skin breathe. And they're also, I just feel like it makes your makeup look like last so much longer that way, because it's like you don't have makeup on all like your entire face, so you're not like seeing as the day goes by, like you know, it starts to run or anything like that, or wrinkle in places. Because if you don't have it there, it's like it's just your skin. Versus like a really, really heavy foundation look where it's like you're gonna see that. And I think that's the issue that I have sometimes with like the beauty YouTubers, you know, I do think they do amazing makeup. But it's, you know, with all the lighting and the editing and like the filters, you know, that doesn't look true to real life. And I really wish that they could portray that a little bit more, because especially, you know, because we all have skin texture, like, and your skin could be so flawless and so smooth, but you're still gonna have a little bit of texture. You're gonna have a little bit of pores going through. Like, you're gonna see a little bit of makeup no matter how like clear and beautiful your skin is. And I just wish like the YouTubers could really show that, because you know, like when you see their full glam look, it's like, yes, it looks absolutely gorgeous, but you also have these amazing lights that are blocking out and smoothing it for you. And I just want to see how that looks after a full 12-hour day with your mask coming on and off, like eating. That's what I want to see, because I know for a fact I'll look at myself in the mirror after like a night out, and I'm like, this does not look good at all. Like, and so I just like, so it messes with you. You know, I definitely feel like I would get, when especially when I was younger, and even actually even now, like especially on Instagram and stuff, I'll see like people with their looks where it's like they look like they have no makeup on. And even though I know that they do, and I'm like, how does it just look like that absolutely like gorgeous? And it's like, you know, it's just like a filter. And but it makes you want to think like, well, what am I doing wrong with my makeup? Like, why is it that like I can apply it in the most perfect way and it still looks like there's like a little bump here, like a little like wrinkle here or something? Like, and so just trying to remind yourself that it's like your skin is going to show no matter what. Like, and it doesn't mean that your makeup looks bad, nothing like that, but For sure, like with your foundation base, always start light, just light, you know, build it up. Like I always tell them, like you can build up, you cannot build down. So it's like
Yes.
build it up because it is the worst if you add too much and then you have to do your, you wipe it all off and you have to start all over. But like if you just start a little bit, little spot treatment, little concealer, like it's so much better. Like it's gonna look so much better. And then blush, honestly, I'm a, such an advocate for like heavy blush. I love blush. I love when people start doing the little like sunburnt, like e-girl little like rosy blush look. I love that. Like that blush is my most like needed thing. Like if I was on somewhere and I had to pick just like one makeup item for the rest of my life, it would be blush. I
It
love
would be
blush.
blush. Okay. That's
I
amazing.
love blush. Yeah.
That, oh, I love that. But yeah, no, I remember when I like when I started going down like the makeup YouTube rabbit hole before I got into artistry, it was always like the foundation was always like putting on all these streaks and then blending it with like a brush or a beauty blender. And I remember I did that for so long with foundation, with concealer, just like plopping the product on. And then I realized like one, like the way that that's shown, like that's too much product. And two, like the every video, it feels like there's a new video every week, and every video is a different foundation, a different concealer, and there are so many fucking products out there. And the reality is like if you buy one concealer that matches your tone, that you love, that gives you the effect that you want, you can use a little bit of it. It'll last you a long time, and that's all you need.
No, literally, I had this bottle of the Ilia brand. This, oh my God, this it's so gross looking, but the little concealer. I fucking loved this. Like it lasted me. I think I got this gifted to me for my birthday in March, and I'm just now like it's literally I'm like scraping at it inside, just trying to get the last bits of it because it's like all I needed was just on my little cheek area, and blend it out. Like it's that's it. I like did not need anything else, and I look covered like fully. Like I look full coverage because then you're like I think people don't think that like you know when you start to add like your blush and your bronzer like and even your under eye concealer like once like the, as you start adding those two it's like you're building up like you know a lot more onto your face, so you're gonna look pretty covered and like full coverage. You can look full coverage glam and know that you only had like a little bit of like just spot treated con like concealer as your foundation base. And I think people don't understand that. Like, I think they just think that you have to add like, you know, everything like completely covered, but it's like, no, like you can still look full glam and fully covered with just the smallest amount. Because yeah, like you're adding the rest of like your blush is going to cover up whatever little like, you know, things you maybe didn't fully cover, like your bronzer is going to cover up a little bit. Even your under eye, like when you do that and drag it down, like that's going to cover up a little bit more. So it's like, yeah, like small amounts, build it up. I just build it up is like my motto.
My favorite hack, I don't even know if it's a real hack that I love to tell people. I said it in a recent episode. I was like, you don't need to buy foundation, to be honest. Like, you don't buy a concealer that you love. You have that pigment. You don't have to worry about matching it with a foundation that in the same brand, that same like the concealer matches the foundation, the name matches the name, but it's still not the same shade. What is with that? But if you get a concealer you love, you concentrate it, like you were saying, in the areas where you need more coverage, and then you add a little bit to your moisturizer and you have a BB cream, a tinted moisturizer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember when that trend really, like, I feel like when that hack, the whole like adding the moisturizer with your like foundation became like such a big thing. And I love that. Like, it's just, yeah, it's so, once you like, I think it's just for some people, if you're only, if you're so used to just like the full coverage, it can be like definitely, it definitely is like a little bit of a different look. Because I think for me too, you have to like, at least for me, like I had to learn to be able to like accept that like some of my like dark spots are still gonna kind of show through a little bit. Or like, you know, if I have like a zit like on my like right now I have a zit on my chin, but it's like, you know, and I covered it because I just was like, oh whatever, like we'll just cover it today. But sometimes I'm like, if it's just if I have something like a little imperfection like on my chin or something, I'm not gonna add a whole bunch of like foundation just for that one zit. Like it's gonna be fine. I care more about like my little fate, like dark spots is like my thing. And so I think trying to learn, that was a big thing in learning how to also really love more of my like imperfections, and love and feel a little bit more confident in myself too with that, was like, because I didn't want to wear heavy foundation, I didn't want to wear a lot of makeup, and I had to learn to like be okay with like my imperfections are going to show through a little bit, but it's like it's not that bad, like it's just my skin, like it just shows that I like have skin, and it feels more true to myself because I'm like, well, now I know too, like if I wipe this off, like I still am going to look relatively like exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Versus like when I do a full glam and I'm like, I really look a lot different when I got a fully beat face. And yeah, like the other thing too that I started, which I will admit, I hated on this trend at first and now I love it. It's the faux freckle trend. Mm-hmm. I hated it at first only because I feel like so many people were doing it so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. It was just dots on their face, mm-hmm. like the same shade for everyone, like that's just a brown colored dots, like, mm-hmm. like very obviously in the freckled area, which was just like, it just looks so obviously not real,
yeah,
to me,
cartoony almost.
Yes, yeah. And like I think in photos and like in a video, you know, again with like cameras, like it distorts it a little bit, so it looks a little less like, oh, it's like you just put dots on it. But I know, like, mm-hmm. in real life, it looks like you just have these brown dots on your face. Like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Especially because I've seen people doing it with like eyeshadow, which I was like, if you end up like touching your face, that's gonna like smear and you're gonna look like you have dirt on your face. I don't know why you would use eyeshadow. That one I was like, okay, I hope you are just taking photos with that, because that's gonna you're gonna have a beard like real quick. Like, so that was my issue with it, was I felt like I was like, this is such a cute idea, but nobody is doing it right. Like, mm-hmm. everyone is making them look so obviously like fake, and I'm such a like, I has to look real. Mm-hmm. Like, and so the way that I started doing it was with the special effect the alcohol palette, like base palettes, that people use for special effects, because it's so translucent. So it's like you add a small amount, because it's mostly used for like adding like the details of like someone's, like, you know, if you're trying to make someone look old and have like the veins or like the things that are very translucent through your skin. And so I used that to do fake freckles, because it was able to get more of the color matching right. Yeah. And like it looked more like it's like real freckles in someone's skin versus like I just put black dots on my face. That actually really helped me to feel better about using lighter makeup, because I kind of blended it in with like my dark spots that would kind of still show through a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it just looked like, oh no, it's like all meant to be there, like versus like, oh, I had a little like spots here and there. But, and that I like, ever since I started doing that, I was like, wow, this is it for me. Like, I love this trend. I love the fake freckles. Like so things like that, like where I'm like, people should just really try a little bit more. But it's like things like that where it's like, for me at least, like trying to ease into like wearing lighter makeup, mm-hmm. I found like another way to kind of help feel better about that by adding the little freckles, to feel a little bit more like, okay, like no one, like these, some of these are imperfections, but nobody will know.
Who's gonna know? No one's gonna know.
Exactly. So that's one trend that I hated at first, but now I really love it. And then I actually just used the brand Freck. Mm-hmm. I got gifted to their little actual freckle thing, and that actually is also like really it? I love that.
Okay.
I really like that. Yeah, I think for the price, because I got gifted it as like a birthday gift, I don't know if I would buy it with my own money.
Yeah,
because it is kind of expensive. And like, let me show you this little, like, I have to show you this, because it's
tiny.
Like, it's so tiny.
I bought one because I was gonna do a segment on, I was gonna do like a video on like the TikTok made me buy this and like, mm-hmm. review whether or not it's, you know, worth your money. So I bought it. I think it's like $28 or something. And it's literally the size of a pinky finger. And I
It's
was like,
so tiny. It literally is so tiny. And it also, I think I went through it really quickly, but maybe I just because at first I was still getting like used to understanding how to like use it because you can definitely use it wrong. I've realized.
I butchered it in the beginning so much.
Yeah, I would like be getting into my car like after doing it and then like seeing it in real lighting and I was like, oh, okay, wait, I did way too much. Like that was not right. Yeah, so I don't, yeah, I like the idea, I like the concept. I just don't know if I would buy it for my own self. 'Cause yeah, it's $28 for this little baby thing. And I'm like, that's insane. I don't, yeah. Frank, I do want to try their other stuff though. And see, like they seem to have like a lot of new things coming out, and I'm really curious to try their blushes, like their little blush slimes, I think that they have. But yeah, their freckle thing, I would say try it once and then probably after that, find a new way to do freckles. That's maybe
Just
a little
not
cheaper.
eyeshadow.
Just not eyeshadow. Please do not do that eyeshadow thing because that is not gonna work.
No, I hear you, and I feel that as well. And I don't know if it's a pandemic thing or if it's just been, time, because you know how beauty, like fashion, it we cycle through these things. But we had this Instagram makeup age where everyone was trying to change their faces, and now I feel like so many more people are leaning into just owning their. Like the things they may have been insecure about earlier, but now they're like, no, this is a part of me, and I'm actually proud of that.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like with the pandemic and like the wearing the mask thing, like it's it I like I said, for me, like I stopped, like a lot of people around me stopped wearing makeup too. Like everyone that I worked with, all my friends, like they all stopped wearing makeup too, because it was just like, what's the point? And like, yeah, everyone was a lot of people around me too, including myself, we were all going through skin issues that we'd never had before because, the masks were clogging our pores and like you were getting adjusted to something new. And so that was like another thing of just having to like deal with like these new skin issues and having to, yeah, like you had the mask for safety a little bit with those things, but it's like now things are kind of coming, like you're getting a little lenient, people are being able to like not have to wear the mask as much. And so I think, yeah, like people are having to get reaccustomed with their face.
I'm not ready. I'm
Yeah,
not ready.
because you're so used to just seeing only like everyone's eyes, and it's like, it's such a trip when, at least for me too, with as working in service, when I see customers who I've only seen through the pandemic of just their eyes, like I'd never seen them before that, and now seeing them without it, I'm like, oh, that's what you look like that's what you fully look like. Okay. I'm like, interesting.
It's so trippy.
Yeah, and it's just easier to wear less makeup now with the mask too, because I mean, even when I wear the tiniest amount, like I'm still seeing it rubbed off onto my thing. So I'm like, well, if it's gonna get rubbed off, I just have to be okay with like this, the stuff I just covered up is gonna probably show a little bit. So what can I do, like, other than be okay with it? And like everyone else is gonna have to be okay with it.
I had a another makeup artist that I interviewed last season for the pod, and there was a listener question that was like, how do I make my makeup last all day? And she was like, she works on film sets, and she's like, you can't. She's like, that's just the nature of it. Like when we're on set, whether it's a photo shoot, whether it's a film shoot, like we're always in the shadows waiting to like jump in, do a touch up. So like you just have to touch up. That's just what it is.
And that's where that's like my kind of my other issue, I think, with like with beauty YouTubers and like influencers, of just where it's like they don't give you that realization. It's like they kind of make it seem like, oh yeah, like I just spritz this like setting spray and my makeup lasts all day and it doesn't go anywhere. Like, and it's like, to an extent, yes, it'll maybe help it stay on, but it's like realistically, like I'm out here, like I'm always like having to pat, like reapply like a little bit of under eye concealer or just like padding through, or like I always carry like a little blush and like brush in my bag because I'm always reapplying blush, like
Yeah.
all the time, because that will like fade off, especially with the mask, like it's coming off and on, like. And so it's like I think everyone has this idea that's like they think that like once like your makeup should not move like ever, and it's like if it is like then you're doing something wrong with your application or you're using the wrong product, and that's not true. Like it's like make there are some products that will stay like
Yeah.
really nicely for a longer time, but it all is like with everything you're doing throughout your day, you know, like even if you're just sitting around like at home, like I'm doing all the time, like my makeup is still, you know, getting worn on my face. Like it's still my natural oils, my natural like sweat, like the heat, like all of that is gonna like still affect it. Even if you're like, if you're dehydrated, you know, like
Yes.
that's gonna affect it. Like that's something that I always have to remind myself, especially when I go out drinking, because I'll get like, you know, my buzz on and I go into the restroom and I'm like, oh my God, my face, like why does it look so shriveled up and like dehydrated out here? Like my makeup looked beautiful when I just went out, and now it looks like I like looks awful. And I'm like, it's just because I'm drinking. Like I'm just drinking, and maybe I'll drink some extra water and it'll like hopefully look better. But I feel like no one understands that. Like they don't understand that like everything is gonna affect your face, like, and it's gonna affect how your makeup looks, regardless of how long it stays on, like, or however much setting spray you spray. Honestly, I don't care for setting spray, to be honest. It's not. That's like a product that I really don't think is necessary personally. I think I just actually started buying, I bought this like spray sunscreen, so I can start keeping up with sunscreen like over my makeup, and that I would say is a much better refresher for your makeup in general. It gives you like a nice like glow overall, like you feel rehydrated, and that I would say is like that's a better setting spray than like I don't know, that I always find that when I use a setting spray, I feel like it makes my skin more dehydrated looking. And I don't know what that is.
Well,
Like,
I think a lot of them have alcohol.
yeah.
Which is dumb, but no, I love that you said that because my listeners know every single episode, I'm so happy you brought this up. Every single episode, it always leads back to sunscreen. I'm always like,
Oh my God.
remember to put it
Yes.
on and top it off. It's important.
Yes, I just started. Yeah, I started getting into just like always reapplying sunscreen really recently. And my friend was the one who introduced me to this spray. It's the Pacifica brand. Yes,
I
the
love Pacifica so much.
Pacifica brand. I love their. I have their other regular like liquid one. That's like the sheer face serum sunscreen, and it's amazing. Like it's one is the highest SPF that I've been able to find for an affordable price at 55, like SPF 55, beautiful. And then they have a matching spray bottle version of it. I think it's also SPF 30, like 55. It might be a little less, but it's still pretty high, like above 30. And I keep that in my car, like in my bag, and I just spritz like whenever, like I am just throughout the day, and it smells delicious. It's like, it's just so, it gives you a nice glow like over your skin. Like that stuff, I recommend that one like so much to people because it's so easy. And like the spray part too is just like, okay, like simple. And I feel so extra. SPF, I've gotten all my friends like in this pandemic too, like into their skincare a lot more because I got really more into skincare. And I was telling them too, I was like, you guys have to start wearing sunscreen, like sunscreen, sunscreen. I'm like, it will literally change your face. Like it will change your face. It just like, yeah, I can't even stress enough how like how much of a difference like it, the more you use it, you really start to see like your skin becomes so much more healthy, like from just like adding this new product. And if that's all you wear, like your skin's gonna look beautiful. Like, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna just play that clip of you saying that in every episode because I feel like I don't want to like scare people, but like I come from a place of like I worked at counters, I managed counters. So I have seen so many clients come in and be like, "Oh, I have melasma. Oh, I have sunspots. I have like how do I fix it? How do I and the biggest thing was always I want something that looks natural. It looks like I'm not wearing any makeup. It's not like it's something very light, but I want it to perfectly cover up my sunspots and my melasma. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't really exist unless you have minimal damage. And so I'm always like, if you just use your sunscreen now, you won't have to damage control later. But I like your approach way better of just saying like, it'll just make your skin beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it really will. Like my sister is the total opposite of me. She's very much like hippie, no makeup, no like harsh chemicals, like type of thing. And she actually doesn't not agree with sunscreen because of like, especially my spray one. She thinks that's I'm like polluting the earth, which I don't believe that is happening. No. But it's like, I've been trying to get her to like use some sunscreen and she just absolutely refuses. But I swear to you, like it, because especially for if you do struggle a lot with like dark spots and like sunspots and just hyperpigmentation in general, like which is something that struggles with me, even if I don't touch it, if I do not leave it, it will leave a little spot no matter what once it goes away. And I started using sunscreen because my acne like in skincare journey has been like at least well into like almost 2 years that I've been like dealing with like getting it to be in the healthy spot that it's in now. And so for 2 years I really started like heavily using sunscreen, and I can just see like the difference in how it really helps to increase like the speed of your dark spots fading in addition to like other products that I use to help with that. But I have noticed that with the sunscreen it really helps like just mask that because you know the sun will make your dark spots like darker if you have those. And I will swear by it that like that is when everyone is like asking like what's the one thing to like help fade dark spots, and I would say like sunscreen is the absolute like number one thing that will like help to speed it up if you add it in with additional stuff. If you're just using like one product for your dark spots or your discoloration, you know, like it's gonna take longer for sure. But if you add a little sunscreen, like also the application of sunscreen, it needs to be heavy. That's something I think that people also forget about is like, they think they just need a little bit, but like you should slather that on, like slather it on, let it be like heavy on your face. Like really add that protection because it's going to change your life. And it just, yeah, it like, I love sunscreen. I love sunscreen, but the Pacifica, I really do like recommend because it's affordable, it's high SPF. I can't stop using it.
Yeah. It is a cleaner formulation than a lot of the other sunscreens out there. Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. I just want to do a little bit of a quick pivot because, as you know, a good portion of my listener base are aspiring makeup artists.
Yay.
So I would love it if you could give like maybe your top piece of advice or any top, like however much advice you want to give, but like what are the things that as these folks are looking to really break into the industry, make this a career choice for themselves that they can maybe transition into full time, like where should they be focusing and what kind of headspace should they be in as they're pursuing this?
I feel like my advice is, you know, to at least there's something for me that I think I have really gotten to learn more so is to like say no to things, say no to projects that you don't feel genuinely like enthusiastic or like actually like interested in. I think that was one thing that going to makeup school, they kind of make you feel like you have like you should just take every job that comes up just to like, you know, have, you know, that like, and to keep yourself going. And I kind of disagree with that because I personally, it's like, I definitely did take on jobs that I wasn't actually interested in, but again, like I had that, like, oh, you should just do it. And I feel like for those things, you can just tell that it wasn't like my work wasn't the best because I wasn't actually interested in it. And so I would say, you know, like, choose like what you actually want to like feel like gravitated towards and like say yes to the jobs that you actually like feel interested in versus like don't take a job that it's just if that's going to make you do something that you actually don't like doing, you know, or like creatively, especially because, you know, being creative, it's like, it's such a personal thing and we all do it differently. And so it's like, don't do something that like, is just, if it's not your cup of tea, like, don't do it. Like, it's okay. Even like, it's okay to let those jobs go. Because I feel like you'll just be able to like find something different. Like, especially, and I think, you know, this is for LA people, like, you know, LA, there's so much going on all the time. So it's like, it really is okay to like not take this one job because there's so many other ones to do. And also just, I think, you know, encouraging yourself to like, if you have an idea to like put it together, like that is something that like, for me, especially when I'm in like in a creative rut, it's like, if I get an idea, like with the boys with fruit, like I just, that idea came to me like randomly. And I was like, I'm just gonna do it because I need to do some makeup and I need to like, you know, fill my portfolio. And so it's like, you like put together shoots like that you want to do. I think there's a thing with like people always feeling like you have to, you know, like be like, do something that's going to pay you. And yes, you know, like obviously you want this to be your job. So it's like, definitely also that too, you know, like at like, ask for what you deserve. Like that's something that I've also really struggled with, was like trying to like price myself was very difficult, and it's difficult still no matter what. I think like having to say your prices, and I think starting out with like a set like a little higher than like you would think, and then, but knowing that you have like a cushion that you're kind of like, if they have to go lower, like this is where I like would be okay with. And just feeling like you just have to like, you know, let yourself feel like, this is what I'm worth. And if someone isn't willing to pay you, then it's like, that's okay. Like, again, like you'll find something new. Someone will be willing to pay you what you're worth. So, that is also really good advice. It's just, like, you know, don't be afraid to ask for what you deserve. If they say no, can't do it, like, then you move on and you'll find something different. And like, that's okay. And, but I would say my biggest one too is like, for sure. Like, you don't have to take every job. Is, I just think that's a huge one, is like, you don't have to take every job just to like keep yourself going. And there are some people that you really don't need to network with these things. Like they will not, you know?
There are like, there are some people out there that like, I feel like we have to always, as artists, walk this balance of being open and and unleashing our creativity, because there's that collaboration, but also being skeptical, because there are so many people out there that are just out to fucking swindle you and just like, get your talent. And that could be a person, that could be a brand that's like, I'll send you this one $20 product if you give me like an hour of promotion for it. And I'm like, how about exactly?
Exactly. I think everyone, especially like, has that mentality of like, you know, like it's who you know type of thing. And that's a big thing like out here. Like, yes, it is. It's all about like who you know type of thing. But there are certain people in like certain brands and companies I really, it's not worth it to like work with them if they're not, one, going to give you what you deserve, or two, they're just not, they're just not going to like actually like help you move up in what you're doing. It's like, if they're, if you're not going to benefit from it the same way that they're going to benefit from it, then don't do it. Like, and you'll be, it'll all be okay. And so I think learning to be able to say no to things is a huge thing, because you know, your creativity is very special, and it's I think we do our very best work when we actually are enjoying what we're doing. And so, you know, for me, like, I didn't get into the film and TV field. Like, I tried a little bit, but it wasn't my thing. I wasn't into it. It wasn't, I couldn't creatively be like where I wanted to be. And so that's why I love doing photo shoots and music videos. And I'll always say, usually I'll always say yes to like a photo shoot or something, because those, you have so much creative freedom with those. And it's like, that is so much more fun. So, you know, do the things that are going to be more fun and more fulfilling for you, rather than trying to just, you know, I think meet people to hopefully like, that will, you know, hope you get to the top, because some of those people, they won't actually help you. Like, and then you're just wasting your creativity on something that wasn't even that exciting. So
I think that's, I think that's great advice for any job. Like, it, like, know your worth, and set those boundaries. And if people aren't going to meet you where they're at, then they're not your people.
Yeah, exactly. And then also just patience, you know, patience. It's very hard. It's a huge struggle that I deal with all the time. And I think everyone deals with that whole feeling of like, you have to be at this level at this age and time, and feeling like we're constantly running out of time. And that's just stupid. Yeah. It's so dumb, you know, like I've been a makeup artist for so long, and it's not like it's been my consistent thing. But that's a personal choice. I like doing it freelance, and I like picking and choosing the gigs that I like when I want to do it, while also having other creative things going on. And working at a coffee shop is fun because I get to meet people, and it also sometimes leads to makeup jobs. It's like, I think, yeah, like being patient with yourself. If it's something that you want to make full time, it can happen, but be patient and, like, you know, don't lose yourself in that same sense. Like, stay true to yourself and stay true to your brand and your creativity, and it'll work out. But it's also okay to, you know, like, do it freelance or part time, and like, that doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. Like, it's still you, who you, what you do. That's something I had to learn, was like, I don't just do makeup. I do this and that and this, and that's okay with me. It's versatile. I'm versatile. I love it.
Same. I had to, like, when I started out, I was very much like, okay, within this amount of years, this is what I'm going to be doing. And then I'm going to get an agent, and then I'm going to, and then like, I got frustrated because I was like, this isn't happening like the way I planned. And I think that's just life. Like, we'll plan shit, and then the universe is like, okay. So I feel like when I started to kind of trust the process, enjoy the ride, and worry less about like getting off the exit ramp at a certain point, that's when shit just started falling into place.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you had to look at like other seasoned makeup artists too. Like, my absolute biggest makeup artist I love is Priscilla Ohno. She is Rihanna's, I think she's for Fenty, so she's like the Fenty brand, like head makeup artist, and she's like Rihanna's makeup artist. She does so many celebrities. Her makeup is flawless. Like, the application is beautiful. And it took her a long time too, from what I've read, like, to get to where she's at now. And it's like, she worked at MAC and all those stores and things like that. And it really is just like, it's just having to be patient and trust the process. So like, you're going to make it to where you're meant to be in that state, like, when it happens. And just enjoy enjoy the journey, take your time in it. Like, and don't feel like you got to rush, like, you know, because it's like, just enjoy it. It should be fun. It should, like, makeup should always be fun. And so just have fun with it. Like, but yeah, always like say no to things. Do the fun jobs. Do the fun jobs is what I say. That's my advice.
I love that. No, that's quality advice. That's amazing. All right. Awesome. Well, as you may know, I like to end every episode with a reco of the week, something that you're vibing with that you feel like the people just need to know about.
Oh my God. Yes.
You have a reco for us?
It is by Ilia again, but it is their mascara. Ooh. What is it? The Limitless Lash Mascara. This stuff, I'm also like already out of this, and I've been like using my second favorite, which is the Colossal Maybelline mascara. But this one, it's like, this thing will really make your lashes look like you have like long falsies. This stuff is just beautiful. I don't know. Love it. And there's, what is it called? The serum, True Skin Serum Concealer. Ilia. It's the newest brand that I've honestly tried, and I love this stuff. Would highly recommend those two, for sure, as like a staple to have in your makeup kit, for even yourself or just for clients. Beautiful stuff.
I love that. Amazing. Well, Delia, thank you so much for being here, dropping so much knowledge, sharing your journey. If the people want to reach out to you, collaborate, get advice, whatever it is, where can they find you?
You can find me on my Instagram is Delia PMUA. That's DELIA PMUA. And that is also same deliapmua@gmail.com to reach out to me. But yeah, that's
Amazing.
Me. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for bringing me on here. This is so cool.
Thank you for being here. It was amazing. And we are going to talk soon.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, for real though, how amazing is Delia and her story and her journey? I love it. Go ahead and follow her, like she said, on her Instagram. Her work is beautiful. The Boys Eating Fruit collection photo shoot was stunning. It's gorgeous, and I really love it. So thank you so much, Delia, for coming on the pod and sharing your story. That was really amazing. And I loved her product rec of the week. Ilia is a brand that I'm also obsessed with very, very much. And I wanted to share my product rec of the week. It actually is something that has changed my life, my skin. And it's on brand for me and also on brand for this episode because it is a sunscreen. Yes, yes, yes. It is a mineral sunscreen, a clean form formulation that will not give you the white cast. All right, are you with me? So this is a sunscreen. It's a facial sunscreen called Ever Eden is the brand. It is a sheer botanical facial sunscreen, SPF 30, which is the minimum that you should be wearing. And so I'm like, oh, I wish they could make some more, like higher SPF, but maybe that'll come eventually. So it's 100% mineral sunscreen developed by pediatricians and tested by dermatologists. So it is safe enough to use if you're pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, use it on your kids. Basically, anyone of any age, any skin type, skin tone can use this. It is a broad spectrum, non-toxic formula. So it's a clean formula. And I'm going to give you like the ultimate triple whammy. So not only does it, the zinc oxide, not leave a white cast, it kind of melts right into the skin. It also has jojoba oil, which gives you this very lightweight, beautiful, bouncy moisture. And it has rose extract. So it doesn't have that like that powdery like sunscreen smell. Instead, it just smells like roses, like a fresh rose garden, which I feel like might not be for everyone, but I'm obsessed with it and it's all naturally derived fragrance. So I am loving this, made in the USA. I have a bottle of it in my hands right now. And when I tell you, I recently, I don't know if this is TMI, but I like to share as much as I can with you about my life. So I switched up my birth control. I got my IUD out. My skin freaked out. My skin is insane. The hormonal acne that I am erupting in is insane. And all of my skincare that I have been using is, it's irritating. My skin doesn't like it. My skin is very much like, why are you doing this to me? So I had to switch it up and I've started using this sunscreen instead of what I've been using. I've really pared down my routine. I was using a lot of actives. Now I'm focused a lot on hyaluronic acid, on using benzoyl peroxide during the day and salicylic acid at night for my acne. And for my sunscreen, I've been using this formulation and my skin can breathe. My skin doesn't feel, even though it's a mineral sunscreen and it sits on top of the skin, my skin doesn't feel trapped. My skin doesn't feel irritated. And so I've really been able to heal a lot of these flare-ups that I'm having, and the benzoyl peroxide and the salicylic acid like really dry out the skin because it's supposed to heal. It basically kind of detoxifies, disinfects the pores, everything that's clogging the pores, the bacteria that's in there, but it dries out the skin. So this botanical facial sunscreen from Ever Eden has really been keeping the hydration going, keeping my oil production under control as well, even though it has a jojoba oil and it should make me feel greasy, but it doesn't, probably because of the zinc in there. And so ultimately, I just feel my skin feels bouncy. It feels healthy. It feels like it can breathe. It feels like it's protected. And my acne is able to heal because this clean formula is basically not triggering anything and it's moisturizing any dryness from the acids and the peroxides that I'm using. So if you have been looking for a mineral sunscreen that you can love, you want something that doesn't leave a white cast, you want something that doesn't feel like paste, it doesn't feel gross, you want a clean formula, or, you know, you have sensitive skin and it's been flaring up, but you want that sun protection, check it out. Highly recommend Ever Eden Sheer Botanical Facial Sunscreen, SPF 30. That is my official reco of the week. Thank you so much for being here. I love it when I get to hop on the mic and talk to you. I've also really, really loved bouncing around in the DMs with y'all. So go ahead and DM me if you have any questions, want any advice, if you just want to shoot the shit, talk the talk, do the thing. DM me at MUA Chronicle on all the socials, or hit that hotline and have your message, your reco of the week, your feedback, whatever it is that you want to share with our community, have it featured on the podcast. The hotline is 877-THE-MUAC. That's 877-843-6822. And I will talk to you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. And tell your friends about the Makeup Artist Chronicle too. You can always get more content on Instagram at MUA Chronicle, so don't forget to follow me there. And while you're following the Chronicle on social and on Spotify, also be sure to check out Lady Bree, who sings our theme song, Microphone. Throw some follows her way. Talk to you soon. Give me that microphone.